Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we're back. It's 13 After. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. Our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Doug Stiles is our special guest. He's the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show. He is the manager of the tax department at Kirchen & Company, the largest CPA firm in central New Jersey. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
With all 28 employees.
Yeah, go ahead, rub it in. The largest CPA firm in central New Jersey. I love it when you say that.
I love that, yeah. I like it.
But, you know, most people in your part of the world think that New Jersey is just skyscrapers from end to end. And
well, I don't, because I've been to New Jersey.
Oh,
and
thank you.
It is, in fact, the Garden State.
We have some small businesses here, believe me.
Yeah. Well, listen, I saw a report the other day where Jersey farmers were really taking it on the chin.
Yeah, we've had a tough summer up here.
You're right. I think the average American, not from your part of the world, it blows them away to see pictures of vast farmland in southern New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I tell people, hey, it didn't get to be calling it the Garden State. That wasn't sarcastic. It really is.
Don't let that secret out, though. We have too many people here already.
Yeah, I believe it. But the thing is those farmers were really having a tough time. They were not going to be able to get their crops in because of the drought.
I've been driving by cornfields that I can see over the stalks, and usually at this time of year they're about 8 feet high.
And people are saying, wait a minute, corn grows in Iowa. Why? They don't grow corn in New Jersey.
Oh, yes, we do.
But they do. And soybeans, I saw that, too. I was surprised.
Yeah?
I did not know that there was a big soybean operation in the crop in New Jersey.
Oh, there is. Right amongst the smokestacks, Jim.
Now, how in the world are we going to segue out of soybeans into trust funds?
Well, we'll set up a soybean trust.
Last time Doug was with us, folks, and as I mentioned, I think I mentioned Doug is a member of our brain trust. Doug was here a month or so ago, two or three weeks ago, and we talked about one of the things we talked about was how your estate tax is calculated, and I gave him a little scenario, and we literally sat down. I sat down here at the calculator on the show and calculated that a $2 million estate that grandma and grandpa built up over 40 years and then died and left to their family would wind up leaving a tax bill of approximately $500,000. It was about a 25% hit, wasn't it?
Scary, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's, folks, that is on assets that they'd already paid the taxes on to acquire.
The income tax.
Income tax. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
They get
plus all the other stuff. And I'll tell you, I went through the roof. That number, I had never really calculated that kind of a number. And I just want to remind people that little estate that we were talking about wasn't some kind of, daddy big bucks here situation. This was just a family that over a period of time, most of those assets in that $2 million, probably half or more was real estate. And it was just a composite company that I was talking about. I didn't have anyone in particular. But folks, that kind of math, the kind of math that we did and the number that we got, Doug, told me that people need to be thinking about how to prevent that from happening. And one of the ways to do that is through trust, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say that trusts are probably the leading method that we use in estate planning, from the very simple to the hopelessly complex area.
Yep. What are the very simple ones?
The first one that we try to educate people on is something called the credit trust or the bypass trust is what I normally call them. Now, and I skipped one word there, it's the credit shelter trust or bypass trust. They mean exactly the same thing. The terms are interchangeable. What happens is everybody out there is walking around this morning with a $650,000 what we call a unified exclusion. In other words, unified estate and gift tax, meaning everyone, if you don't give away any substantial gifts during your lifetime, you can die and leave an estate of up to $650,000 to anybody that you want. And needless to say, most people that are married leave everything to their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, if I die today and leave everything to my spouse, and then she dies 10 years later, and has, let's say, $1 million in her estate, the first $650,000 under today's law is tax-free, estate tax-free, mm-hmm. but the balance, the remaining $350,000, Jim, would generate a tax of in excess of $100,000.
Mm.
Now, we're not talking, you know, like you say, daddy got bucks here. You're talking mm-hmm. of, you know, modest family that might have total assets of $1 million, and I realize some people are saying, well, you know, that's not me. Well, you add up your real estate and your life insurance and the value of your business, and yep. it doesn't take a whole lot to get $2 million anymore.
Well, and especially as we move into the maturity of the what's being called the investor class.
Yeah.
You know, way over 40% of Americans are invested in the stock market today.
Yeah. Now, let me just finish my little example here. Is if you have $1 million, you know, I leave everything to my wife, and she dies, and she has $1 million. We just agreed the tax would be about $100,000. You can make that tax go to zero is if before the first person dies, in other words, do it now, you add a paragraph to both of your wills, both husband and wife's will, to put in this what we call bypass trust or alternative language credit shelter trust. And all that does, Jim, is says something like this, that I leave the first $650,000 to a trust, and the balance I leave to my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So go back to my little scenario. That first $650,000, instead of going to my wife, drops into a trust. The balance goes to her so that when she dies, she has less than $650,000, and the family, the couple, escape estate tax altogether.
Because
now,
she has her $650,000 that isn't being used up by the $650,000 that went to the trust.
That's right.
Is
now,
that right?
Or another way to look at it is that if I just leave everything to her, I have wasted my $650,000 exemption,
right.
Jim.
Because it doesn't accrue.
That's correct.
It doesn't accumulate.
That's correct. I can't give that exemption away.
Right. The processing of each death gives rise to one $650,000 exemption.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So that by dropping the first $650,000, or you know, you can do more or less, but let's stay with the $650,000
right.
into this bypass trust.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the gimmick: the income from that trust is payable to my wife for the balance of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And in the unusual event where she needs the money for an emergency, such as medical purposes,
the principal.
That's right. She can go invade the principal. So you really haven't tied her hands or his mm-hmm. hands, depending.
And you can do that with anybody. I mean, that could be with your children or anybody else, right?
Most of the time, we do it with the spouse.
But okay. It's typically with the spouse, but it doesn't have to be.
That's correct.
That's right. Okay. Stand by, folks. We're talking about trust. How to avoid paying the death tax. 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Doug Stives is our resident expert and our resident CPA. We'll be right back. We are back at 24 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And Doug Stives is our special guest and our good friend. He's the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show and a member of our Brain Trust. We're talking about trust, some ways to trust our methods, devices, vehicles, whatever you want to call it, instruments that allow you to preserve your estate for your family, for your heirs, so that you don't have to pay the ridiculous estate tax or death tax, as I prefer to call it. And Doug, we were talking about you were mentioning something that I had really not heard of before, the credit shelter or the bypass trust. And this is where you take you can actually do more than $650,000, right? Into a trust.
Generally, what we do is put in the amount that is currently the tax-free amount. And let me just stop there for a minute. It was $600,000 for years.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 1997, Congress put us on a slide here where we're going up to $1 million in the year 2006. So
right.
currently the exemption is $650,000. Next year it goes to $675,000, et cetera. So the way we generally word our credit shelter trust language in wills is by saying that we're going to leave the amount that is currently the exempt amount in this trust.
So you can actually put that language in, not put a number in.
That's correct.
All right, now where does this paragraph go? You were saying
it's very important. Is you don't. Most people think a trust, you have to draw a trust agreement. No, not in this case. It goes as a paragraph inside your actual will, Jim.
So if you have a will, if you're having a will made, you might want to look into having this done having this added, and hopefully your attorney will recommend that to you. And if you haven't, if you have your will already, you might want to get it out and dust it out. Go find it, you know, in the shoebox there in the closet, and or wherever it is, and see and talk to someone. Who should they talk to? An attorney or?
Yes. Now I you took the words out of my mouth. I'm using words here that go into wills, and as a CPA, I can talk to you about that, but I cannot write or change a will, and I believe that's pretty much true in all 50 states.
Say that language again. Tell us what that
paragraph is. Just a little paraphrase. What it typically says is, I authorize my executor to establish a trust to have deposited in it or have the trust funded with assets of value up to the current unified estate and gift tax exemption, which translates today as $650,000. Yeah, you haven't said I want to put cash in there. You haven't said I want to put real estate. You leave that up to your executor.
Okay.
Your executor looks at all the other facts and circumstances
right,
and decides what would best go into that trust.
And so what that does, that essentially preserves and accumulates your personal exemption so that your spouse has his or her exemption on top of that.
Exactly. What you've done is you have just doubled the family's exemption.
Right. Okay.
Today's numbers, a couple can now shelter or escape federal estate tax on $1.3 million, and if they're healthy and live until at least the year 2006, the exemption goes to $1 million per, so they can shelter
right,
$2 million worth of assets.
All right, that's good. And that'll make a big difference. In fact, that one issue there could go a long way to circumventing if Congress doesn't do what I think they should do, which is to abolish the estate tax. That one little paragraph could kind of handle that, couldn't it?
Well, that's our advice, is don't wait for Congress, because
yeah,
there is talk about reducing the estate tax, but it doesn't hurt to go ahead and do this. And as you just said, you should dust off that will, go to your favorite attorney, hopefully somebody, an attorney that works regularly with estates and trusts.
Right.
Get this paragraph inserted in there, and my opinion, you can't lose.
Good information, Doug, and I like the fact that that you start out with a simple one. And folks, I don't know how much simpler it could be than that. Now, what about this thing called a living trust?
Okay, popular in some states. I have to tell you that we frankly don't use these in New Jersey, because New Jersey is what we call a simple probate state. If you know, a lot of people run around and talk about, oh my goodness, if somebody dies, we have to probate their estate, and that must be a horror. Well, I can tell you that if someone had died in my family, I wait 10 days, and all I have to do is go down to the local county surrogate's office, and if you have a will for the person who died, obviously, it takes about 20 minutes, and it costs $60 to probate a will here in New Jersey. It's just so simple,
and
we don't
what?
Worry about it.
And then the executor just takes the will and performs?
Basically, yep. But now let's go to the other extreme, Florida. Florida is the horror of probate.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, there are books written and lectures given all over the state, and people listening down there know exactly what I'm talking about. Somebody dies in Florida, the lawyers and probate courts down here just rub their hands together and say, let's see how much money we can take from
cha-ching,
these people.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
You do it so nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So the living trust kind of popped up 10, 15 years ago in Florida, and I'll give you an example when we come back how
yeah,
to do that.
Stand by, Doug. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're talking about trusts. The one we're talking about right now is the living trust. We're not sure whether it fits in your state or not, but it might. And Doug's going to give us some good information on that when we come back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Doug Stives is our special guest. He's a member of our Brain Trust and our resident CPA. He's the manager of the tax department at Kirchner & Company out of Red Bank, New Jersey, the largest CPA firm in central New Jersey, I guess I should say. And our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And our phone number, if you'd like to join us, if you have a question for me, if you have a comment or a question you'd like to ask Doug, this would be a good time to do it, because he is the expert on these things, on the trust that we're talking about. 888-822-8255. 1-888-822-8255. Doug, we started out with a real simple one, and then I asked you about the living trust. I have a feeling that maybe I didn't move us to the next most simple trust. Is a living trust complicated?
Can be, but I think that goes in line here. Is, you know, what I try to do when I'm teaching this stuff is, okay, what do you do first? Well, if you don't have the bypass trust, get a hold of your lawyer, get that inserted in your will. You can't lose, as we talked about before the break.
Right.
But then people typically come back to me and say, Doug, I was at a seminar or I read in one of the business magazines that if I have a living trust, that'll just fix everything. In fact, some people run around blindly thinking that if I put their assets into a living trust, that they don't have an estate tax problem anymore. And that, unfortunately, is not true.
Why would they think that?
Well, what happens is with a living trust is you retitle all of your assets. I mean, literally, you take your house and your stocks and your bonds and, in some cases, your business and any real estate you own, anything that's out there, Jim, and you put it into a trust.
So in other words, while you're still living, with us the name, you have actually moved your assets over to another entity.
That's right. If you did that, and I went down to your local courthouse and searched the title on your residence and whatever business property you might own down there, Jim,
yep,
it wouldn't say Jim Blassingame anymore. It would say James Blassingame Trust,
mm-hmm.
Living Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, unfortunately, get carried away with this, and they say, well, that's great, because when I die, I have nothing. It's all in a trust, and therefore there will be no federal estate tax. That, unfortunately, is not true.
Where are they wrong?
Well, what happens is federal estate tax taxes not only what's in your name, but what you have, in simple language, constructive ownership of.
Ah.
And if you transfer all of these assets that you have, all your worldly assets, into a living trust,
mm-hmm.
okay, you haven't, for federal estate tax purposes, disposed of them. If you set up some other types of trusts, which we can talk about later,
mm-hmm.
it would be essentially out of your estate if you no longer have control of it. But
so what's a living trust good for then, other than maybe some liability issue?
Well, not even that in some states. I have to be careful with how I pick my words here this morning. But what it's good for is it avoids probate. And I mentioned before the break that in states like New Jersey, that doesn't mean a thing because probate is so pathetically simple.
Uh-huh.
But in a state like Florida, where you're going to pay outrageous fees and have to hire high-priced attorneys to help you probate an estate, it's magic. A living trust is just magic.
So in Florida, let's say there's an estate of $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
In Florida, if they had the bypass trust language in their will,
mm-hmm.
and a living trust,
mm-hmm.
then they would avoid, they would accumulate the deduction, the standard universal deduction, and avoid probate.
Yeah, you just said one thing slightly incorrect.
Okay.
There, and you know, there are probably some people out there screaming at both of us that we don't know what we're talking about, but hang with me, is if you put everything into the James Blassingame Living Trust,
mm-hmm.
then your will isn't where you insert the bypass trust language. You actually have to do it in the trust.
Okay.
The trust now stands in your place, if you follow that logic.
All right.
And some people are going to say, no, that's not the way you do it. And I'm just going to say for this morning, that's one way to do it.
Preparing a living trust sounds expensive.
You hit it. If we go through all the advantages of the living trust, then we flip to the negative side. A lot of people say, well, Doug, I've listened to you tell me what I can do with a living trust. Why not? And the not is it up here, most lawyers that do this are charging $5,000 or $6,000 for the setup.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other advantages, which we can talk about. But the only major negative is cost.
Yeah. What are some other advantages?
Well, some of the other things you can do is you avoid probate, but I'll say for a third time, you do not escape federal estate tax.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, in a living trust, Jim, can direct what you want to happen in the case that you become incurably ill. You can do what we do in New Jersey. We do that through something called a living will, different,
mm-hmm.
okay, that says if I'm on life support over in the local hospital, here's who's authorized to make the decision.
Right.
You can do that. You can incorporate those wishes in a living trust. You also can appoint effectively a power of attorney. If I'm alive and I become incompetent or I'm traveling and not available, I hereby direct whoever the trustee of that trust is to serve as basically your power of attorney,
mm-hmm.
while you're alive and after you're dead to administer your affairs.
Yeah, and you actually are able to set up in advance what you want to happen. You're able to identify what you want to happen with your estate.
Yeah, and the other positive here that I have on my list is that this is not important to too many people, but if you're frankly trying to not let people know what you have. In your case, I use the example you had set up the Blassingame Living Trust.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to call it the Southern Alabama Living Trust, you could
right.
do that.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody goes down and says, well, who is this? And the
right.
people in the court will
They'd
say,
have to look for it to find
we,
it.
We don't know.
You wouldn't jump right out. Yeah, I see what you mean. What's a testamentary trust? How does that compare to a living trust?
Okay, a living trust is say, really just retitling assets and doesn't avoid the estate tax, okay?
Right.
A testamentary trust is something you do as I guess the word I'd use is under your will, as you know, as a final transfer.
Mm-hmm.
A little different.
All right. Stand by, Doug. We're going to move on and talk about some more trust when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Doug Stodge is our special guest. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you have a question, a comment, if you want to agree with us, or if you want to disagree with us, that'd be fun too, wouldn't it, Doug?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Stand by. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. This is 44 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Doug Stodge is our special guest. He is our resident CPA, a member of our Brain Trust. And Doug, if someone wanted to contact you, how would they do that?
Well, the easiest way is to pick up the phone and dial 732-747-0500. I'll also give you an email if you like that.
Go ahead.
The email is dstives. It's D-S-T-I-V, V like Victor, E-S, CPA, that's dstives, CPA, at AOL.com.
All right. And or if you have a question that you think Doug would like to, you would like for Doug to answer, folks, and you would like to email that to me, which might be a little bit simpler, please go ahead and do that, and I'll make sure Doug gets that. I know he'll be glad to answer it. Doug, we were talking about, I think you had a few more things to say about the living trust. I had just thrown you a little bit of a curve by asking about the testamentary trust, but haven't I seen those two, the living trust and the testamentary trust, sort of used off of each other?
Well, they're two entirely different things.
Okay.
And what the living trust is, or a living trust, is something that you establish during your lifetime.
Yep.
The fancy word there we use is inter vivos, but I like to speak in English, and it's living trust.
Okay.
And the alternative, if you will, Jim, is a testamentary trust, and that's, we talked about one earlier this hour, is that you set up under your will. Nothing happens until you die, like
right.
The bypass trust, the credit shelter trust we talked about a half hour ago. That is a testamentary trust. Nothing happens during your lifetime.
I see. Okay.
And what you do there is, you, as we talked about, you set up a trust that generates income and, if need be, principal payouts to your surviving spouse. You can also do a testamentary trust to children, grandchildren, coworkers, somebody that needs help after you're gone,
mm-hmm.
Whatever. And as opposed to an outright gift, you leave money in trust and appoint a trustee to handle the assets and to generate or to dole out the income to the beneficiary of a trust. That's a testamentary trust.
Okay. All right. Now, what's next?
Okay. Let's just another word or two, if I can, about the living trust. There are a tremendous number of people around the country in states where living trusts are popular and some where they're not so popular that, you know, frankly, breed on these things. They run seminars and do articles and sometimes full-page ads in local newspapers and almost embarrass people into thinking, boy, I'm really stupid if I don't do a living trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying in Florida it's a great idea, but even down there, I can't emphasize this enough, I think just like with medical, Jim, before you're going to spend $5,000 or $6,000 uninsured medical expenses, you're going to get a second opinion. In fact, you just gave out, or I gave out, my phone number and my email.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's trying to sell you something, you say, hey, is this a good idea for me, whether you come to me or somebody else that's right in your hometown, get a second opinion on it. And I have to say this. I'm a CPA, and you know, we're talking about some basic estate planning here. Frankly, there are a lot of CPAs who just don't do that type of work. There's other work that I don't do that I would mm-hmm. refer out of here in a minute. So even if you're, I think I'll run to my favorite CPA and see what he thinks of this plan that my attorney has proposed, make certain your CPA works regularly with estate taxes because a surprisingly large number do not.
Right. And, well, or they may be, if they don't, they can recommend someone who does.
Exactly.
And you definitely need to get the legal and the tax aspects. Okay.
Yeah, and I think the closing point on this area is there is no one way to do an estate plan.
Mm-hmm.
People come in here and get frustrated with me sometimes. I say, well, Doug, what is the right way to do it? I need to know what your, obviously your age and your health, your family situation. I need to know what assets you have, what types of assets they are, and then, what you want to have happen. And it's so hard to get people to answer that question sometimes.
What about a life insurance trust?
Okay. Great lead into that, because I will tell you, of all the trusts we talk about, that is probably the least understood by people who set these things up. Once again, they go to a planner, they go to a seminar and get ideas, and they come out of there thinking, oh, I have to do a life insurance trust, and that couldn't be further from the truth, Jim. What a life insurance trust is designed to do, and does work beautifully when it's used correctly, is you pay money today. You buy a life insurance policy. You have a trust established to own that life insurance policy. And what happens is, if I did this, I go to my favorite insurance guy and he sets up this trust arrangement through his insurance company or sends
me to my... The company actually establishes the trust for you.
Well, their attorneys do, or okay. They send you to your own local attorney to establish a trust, depending on who you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
You set up a trust. The trust purchases a life insurance on my life. And then here's the gimmick, is I donate to the trust each year the amount of the premium.
Mm-hmm.
So if I buy $1 million life insurance policy on my life and the insurance is $20,000 a year, which is about what it would be,
mm-hmm.
I take that $20,000 every year out of my hard-earned after-income tax dollars and donate it or contribute it to this trust.
Mm-hmm.
The trust then goes through some machinations. It has to notify my children that I'm doing this and get their approval to use that money to buy life insurance. It's just a little gimmick that you have
mm-hmm.
to do. What we have, it's a crazy word, but we call it a crummy powers has to be exercised by the trust at least once a year. Don't worry about what that means.
Okay.
What happens there is you got to notify the children, in my case, my two children, and say, Kim and Lindsay, do you authorize your father to pay this life insurance premium? If we don't hear from you within 30 days, we're going to do it. So then the trust writes a check out and pays the premium on my life insurance. Then when I die, if I've gone through the trust procedures correctly, that $1 million life insurance does not become part of my estate.
It goes into the trust.
It goes nonstop to my children from the insurance company to the trust, then to my children.
Right.
And here's the gimmick, is it's not part of my estate, and the usual goal here is to use that $1 million to pay the estate tax.
Yeah, and it doesn't compound it by becoming part of your estate.
Exactly.
And whereas insurance proceeds are not income tax payable, they're not subject to income tax, but they are subject to estate tax. We are back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I appreciate your business. Doug Stiles is our special guest. He's the manager of the tax department at Kirchen & Company, the largest CPA firm in Central New Jersey, out of Red Bank, New Jersey, and he's a member of our Brain Trust. And we're talking about estate planning, specifically different trusts that you can establish. And, Doug, as we wrap up the hour, why don't you wrap up? I think you may have had a few more things to talk about on the irrevocable life insurance trust. I really like that one, and that's especially good for people who believe that when they die, their estate's not going to be significant, but they may have significant insurance.
Well, yeah, and I say the caution that I want to leave this topic on, Jim, is that unfortunately, I mean, I have a lot of close friends and a lot of clients that are great insurance advisors, but unfortunately, a lot of these people that have insurance licenses are commission-driven, and they will come to you and tell you that this life insurance trust is the greatest thing since they invented sliced bread.
Right.
And tell you it's not an option that you, they tell you you must have it, and that couldn't be further from the truth.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to go into it this morning, but
can you have more than one trust?
Oh, sure.
So you could have the bypass trust, you could have a living trust, and you could have the irrevocable life insurance trust.
You bet, and half a dozen different other ones that we didn't get to this morning.
Right.
And I tell people this, if you can explain something, you have an idea, and you can explain it to an attorney who can write it down in legalese, you can do it with a trust.
Okay.
But the point we have to make as we wind down here is that that does not necessarily mean that you have escaped federal income tax.
Right.
This life insurance trust that we talked about, if you cross all your T's and dot all your I's with these crummy letters that have to go out to your kids and so forth, crummy is a guy's name, incidentally.
Okay.
Not what you think. It's a capital C.
Although that's a word I would expect from you, though.
Right. You follow all the procedures of these various trusts, particularly life insurance trusts, you can reduce your potential federal estate tax if you do it correctly.
Right.
But again, I see people think...
I'm sorry.
They think, you know, if I do this, then there'll be no federal estate tax, and that's not always true.
Well, what would be a reason not to do an irrevocable life insurance trust if you had a good bit of life insurance?
You slid right into that one. I said before the break, I used the hypothetical that we had a $20,000 premium on $1 million policy on me, and I use my money to put money into the trust and have the trust buy the insurance policy. The alternative to that is I can just give the $20,000 to my children. I can give each one of my kids $10,000 a year. And incidentally, I can't do the $10,000 annual gift in addition to the life insurance. It's, in this case, it would be one or the other. where if the life insurance costs $12,000, that would be 12 out of the 20, then I could do another 8 in a non-taxable gift to my children. So the alternative is, and this it's really rolling the dice, Jim, is do I buy the life insurance policy or do I just give that $20,000 a year to my kids and let them do what they want with it and let them worry about paying the estate tax after I'm gone?
But if what if they took the 20 and bought the insurance on you?
They can do that.
And that keeps it out of your estate and it comes to them tax-free.
Absolutely.
So it accomplishes the same thing.
Accomplishes exactly the same thing.
The question is what will they? What do you know what they'll do with the 20?
Well, I'll be a little cynical and say I really don't care. Because when I'm dead and the estate tax is due, if my kids have to sell property to do it, that's their problem. I'm done.
I got you. Yeah.
But the other side of it is, well, yet you don't want the kids to have to sell property. You want to make sure that estate tax is taken care of.
But every estate is different, and that's the reason why we have so many different choices here. And we didn't get into a lot of these folks. And, Doug, we're going to have to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
Next time you come back, which will be in about 2 weeks, we're going to talk about one of your favorites, which is the Charitable Remainder Trust, right?
Very popular today, particularly with the stock market being so high.
Okay, that's next time. Doug, thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
See you later. Doug Stiles, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.